and then all the books of the Bible, and then go about 14 pages. And you'll be there. If it takes you a long time to find Genesis 13, you might want to repent. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. As I was working on this message, as of today, it was like the Lord had kind of been eavesdropping into about 10 or 15 of my conversations, and all of a sudden just started answering them all by His Scripture. And you know, that's how God does. He answers by way of the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of scary, because the Holy Spirit can be something that you need to change or do that's kind of different, right? And you can't really tell somebody else you must do this because it's by way of the Holy Spirit. But most of the time, regularly, God will answer most of your prayers, concerns, and your brokenness of your spirit through the Word of God. That's why it's important to read the Word of God. Over the last few years, I've had the privilege of leading hundreds and hundreds of people through a yearly Bible reading online, and that's become one of the greatest assets to me, period. That's one of the greatest ministries I've ever had. I thought it was, you know, just something, what it would help, it was holding me accountable to read, and then it turned out, you know, you're giving out this thing, and then all of a sudden, 20 people here, 30 people there, 40 people there, and then every year we go through it. It's just been really, really good. It's a really good thing. But it's every year you add depth to what you understand through God through that way. Anyway, Genesis 13. Did y'all get there? All right. We're going to jump right in. Two characters, and I was kind of looking as y'all were coming in. Most of you in the room are going to kind of draw, hopefully you're going to draw your connection to Abram or Abraham, okay? The rest of you will draw your connection to Lot, okay? And there's probably only like three in here, maybe four, that should do on the Lot side. Make that five. I just caught one more. And I was kind of doing that on the young side, okay? The rest of you should be parents, grandparents, people that have been in faith for a while, okay? You're going to connect to the character of Abraham, okay? If you ever find yourself in a situation where you're far from God, then you can kind of understand what Lot needed to do. Are y'all good? Let's jump in the Word of God. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Okay, what happened is God had allowed Abraham to go down into Egypt. And if you know the story, go back. This is context. This is all Genesis 12. He goes down, and you remember he lies to the Pharaoh and tells him that his Sarah was his wife, or his sister, not his wife. And then, you know, Pharaoh almost took her unto himself, and some of the men were really looking at Sarah and thinking, man, she's beautiful. And but then, you know, God intervened and put a plague on them and cursing, right? And then they came back to Abraham, and all of a sudden Abraham began to flourish there. But, you know, the Pharaoh was kind of like, why'd you do this to me? You know, why did you lie like that? What he did is he tried to usurp, he tried to hide something and try to fix it himself. You ever done that? Okay, Abraham wasn't a perfect man. This is kind of where I wanted to start from on this lesson tonight about Abraham. You don't really have to be perfect as a Christian. Amen? What you do have to do is you have to have a heart that's pursuing God, and you want to be obedient to God, and when you mess up, you go back to God. Amen? Quickly. Some of the greatest ministries I've been in, some of the ministries I've been in since I've been in, have been really a lot of people in my business ministries, right? Okay, when I first got saved, got into the ministry, my first full-time job in the ministry was a boys' home. I had six boys that lived in my home. I was not a perfect Christian in front of six boys who in a boys' home all the time. Was not. They seen me angry, sad. They seen me hungry. They seen me frustrated. They seen me confused. Anything that you can be around your kids, that's what they seen. But they never seen me not come back to God. They never seen me not say, that was me. This is what we do. We go to prayer. We go to the Word of God. We go and ask for forgiveness. We seek the right path. We always going to come back to where God is, okay? So it doesn't matter. I'm telling you this on purpose. You don't have to be, You don't have to be some person that's, man, you're doing it all right. But what they do have to see is when you reconcile with God, and then you reconcile with people. They have to see that. Amen? Okay, so Lot, when he was taken, when Abraham followed God, Lot, he didn't have any children and couldn't have any children, and Lot retched on. He just latched on to Abraham like a son, but he wasn't a son, but he had a relationship with his God man, which was Abraham, and Abraham had a relationship with God. And the reason I'm preaching this is a contact with your God man. Anybody in here can be the God person in somebody's life. Okay? And what that means is you have a true, real relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not fake and it's not phony. It's not made up. It's deliberate. It's on purpose. God knows who you are, and you're trying with everything that's in you, which is God, trying to do what is pleasing to God. And you let this person who's connected to you, most of you in this room should see this as a lot of them as your children, okay? I hope so. I hope you see them as your children. And your whole purpose, and you don't set out this way. You don't go, all right, I'm going to be the Abraham of our family and I'm going to do this. That's not it. God saved you. You fall in love with Jesus. You pursue Him with your heart and your mind. And that is these things that I'm about to teach you tonight come off of that. Amen? It's natural. It's not unnatural. You're not becoming Christian robots that somebody beside you can see that. You're just going to live for Jesus, and they're going to figure it out that, hey, mommy and daddy or that God person in my life loves God. They're imperfect, but they're trying their best to please God with their life. Does that make sense to you? Okay? All right, so we see this. They're coming up out of Egypt, but I love how this is. Let's look at it real close. They come out of the south in verse 2, and Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Wait a minute. He went down into Egypt, lied, got into trouble, but God then still preserved him as he came out of Egypt. Lot was probably, he was a ride along with his whole experience, and he had to see that Abraham tried to do right, did some things wrong, but God protected him. God protected him. Listen, my kids have been a ride-along in ministry for 15 years, and I try to remind them all the time, the only reason we are where we're at is because of God, okay? We jumped out in ministry, went with Him. Every meal you have eaten most of your life, and every roof that's been over your head, and every car you've rode in has been provided by the Lord. That's flat-out truth. I said, you of all people, you cannot say God has never done anything for me. He has literally gave you every necessity you need for your whole life. That's our job. We need to tell our kids that and people in general that, hey, I've not made all the right decisions. I don't always act right. I don't always do it. But I love Jesus, and because of that, God can still be a blessing to me. Is there anybody in here God's been a blessing to you despite of you sometimes? Praise God. Ain't that good? I'm not sitting here. We're not going to twist the scripture. I'm not going to sit here, you should live like a sinner, make bad decisions on purpose. But listen, if you live long enough, you will do some dumb stuff. Amen? But if your heart is sincere, and if you can listen and be tender to the Lord and turn back to Him when you do those things, He can protect you despite of you. I love that. I don't really care much about the rich or that and the other. I'm just telling you right now, God, we live in America. We're some of the richest people on the face of the planet. We don't even have a clue what it is to be in poverty. And there probably are some people in America who do, but it ain't me. Amen? And I don't know that by the grace of God. And when he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel. Bethel, underline that, it's the place where you meet God, okay? I love that. A meeting place with God. Do you have one? Under the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. And under the place of the altar, verse 4 is a very important verse. Under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called unto the name of the Lord. He came back to Bethel in the middle there, and there he had put his tent. He had lived there before in his tent, but he had built an altar there, okay? He had built a place where he could talk to God. Listen to this. I know this is going to sound weird, but I've experienced this firsthand. Sometimes your relationship to God can embarrass the people that are under you. My dad embarrassed me before I got saved. Because I was a football player, I was a basketball player, I was a rough, tough guy. And my dad, every once in a while, would get to thinking about Jesus, and he would stick his hand up in the car and begin to weep. And I would be like, stop. I know we're in church. I'm just being honest with you. I'd be like, oh, gosh, Dad, please, no. I still remember I was traumatized. 13 or 14 years old, me and my dad come out of Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut was a wonderful place back in my day. Never mind. I'll get into that another time. Everybody will go to Pizza Hut right after here. My dad walked out of there, met another man, and they embraced and started weeping and talking about Jesus. And I was like right in the middle of town where I grew up, and I'm like, stop! I love you, brother. No, I love you, brother. God bless you. No, God bless you. And I'm like, Kevin, I want you to meet this man. He's a great man of God. I'm like, I don't want to meet neither one of you. Get in the car. This is insane. Right? Embarrassed me because I was Lot. I didn't know that my dad had been transformed by God, and he wasn't ashamed of God. He was in love with God, and sometimes when he reached the meeting place with God, he didn't care what I thought. He didn't. He wasn't going, I hope Kevin's okay with me melting down because God's so good that he's done everything in my life. He's blessed me. He's kept me. He's changed me. So I better consider my son whether his feelings are hurt about his dad not looking like a manly man. I'd go sit in the car and I'd be steaming. He'd get in the car, he's still creeping. Man, God's been so good to me, Kevin. He took me out of my vile relationship with this world. And man, he has changed me. Now I know people that I would have never met. And I'm doing things that I would never do. And I'm sitting over there going, la, 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 I don't care. I don't. That was Lot. What Lot was doing, Lot was sitting along. He went over there. Listen, I'm preaching this. What he did, Lot watched him. He walked over there and he goes, well, we've slept here before. Tents go there. Sheep go there. Cattle go there. Shepherds go there. And all of a sudden he sees Abraham walking over to the altar, just crying before God. Because I guarantee you, it got, Abraham looked out and seen all the sheep and seen all his family was healthy. And even though he had been ignorant down there, he had blessed him beyond all measure. And he got the opportunity to get before God, and he just started worshiping out there in the middle, and all of a sudden Lot's like, goodness gracious, this is terrible. Abraham's like, I'm not doing this for you. Listen, if you're going to be an Abraham type Christian, listen, you've got to stop worrying about what everybody else is thinking about you when it comes to God. Because if you're not careful, you can grow cold on God and nobody will even know you're a Christian or a believer in Him because you're wanting to satisfy the fact that they might think you're weird. Listen, God tells us we are weird. He said, you are a peculiar people. That's weird. Can I just go ahead and break that down just a little bit further? It is weird to fall in love with a God that nobody can see. But until you experience Him, you can't do it. And Lot can't understand it, and I couldn't understand it, and you couldn't understand it. But once you got saved, you totally understand it. And Lot also, watch this right here, verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, verse 5. Where do you think he got all that stuff? Where do you think he got all that? He's a residual. This is a residual blessing to Lot because he's in relationship with Abram, and Abraham is in relationship with God, and it's coming downhill, and he don't even realize he's sitting there in a big old huge blessing because of God, because the man of God was after him, and he just be happened to got chose to ride along. Sometimes you've got to, there might be four of you, and you're three of you. Listen, remind yourself that you didn't just make it right here by accident. God bless you because you're connected to somebody who loved God, period. You might not have agreed with them. You might not have liked it. You might have thought, I don't like being drug. I got a drug problem. They're dragging me to church. They're dragging me to this. Praise God. Listen to me. It's okay. Because you better, as the Abram person, you better give them a reference point of what you believe. That way, whenever they go wherever they're going to do and do whatever they're going to do, they will still say, well, Mom and Dad, they love Jesus. I'm going to be honest with you. I went around the world. I ran so far from what my dad was doing and who he was. I'd done things, said things, experienced things. But the whole time he was praying for me. But guess what? When I got around him, I knew. Okay, let me be real. I don't know how to do anything else but real with this stuff. When I got around my dad, I didn't cuss, I didn't drink, I didn't act a fool. Not because I didn't want to. It's because I referenced him because he loved God. Amen? And when it got right down to the end of it, when right before I got saved, I remember going to his house. Me and Melissa had conversations on our way back to Nashville, and we would say things like, we don't have what they have. We had a house like they had, cars like they had cars, clothes like they had clothes, stuff like that. But guess what? We didn't have no peace, and we didn't have no joy. We didn't have it. Right? He is my God, man. Who was in love with God, and I knew it. And I was blessed because of it. I'd had clothes and I'd had food my whole life. I had shelter over my head. I had somebody who would go with me no matter what, no matter when. If I went to the hospital, he was there. If I needed help, he was there. And you know what? I just didn't. And he just reminded me the whole time, God's good, God's good, God's good. We can't pick on what the Lot type people are going to do, but we can pick what we're going to do. We can pick how we're going to act. We can pick what we're going to say. We can pick how we're going to worship. I think too many times we think too much of other people when we come to church, especially when we come to church. When we come to corporate worship, we think a lot of other people. Well, I would have, but nobody else was. Well, did he save everybody else like he saved you? Right? Oh, gosh. I could preach a million different places right there, but I got somewhere to go. Verse 6, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. Verse 7 is a flyover verse. I'm serious. Sitting in my office today, I read it again, and I said, God, that's a jump over verse. That's a skip over verse. And I mean, I just cruised on. I was going to go right to 8 because there's no reason to jump on that Canaanite Perizzite thing. Just keep on riding, right? I got 2 verses down from that, and God said, you're skipping the best part. I'm like, what? He goes, you're skipping the best part of the message. I'm like, what? How's that? It's the Canaanite and the Perizzite. What does it matter? He said, Abraham and Lot are on the same team. They got the same stuff. And their people are fighting, and they are at war with each other, mad at each other, upset with each other, hurt with each other. Let me say it this way. God, y'all better get this. Lot was more upset than Abraham because Lot had not come to trust God yet. So he was mad at Abraham because he should have done something like, hey, Lot, just go and live any way you want to. I don't care. But Abraham wasn't going to do that because Abraham had his focus on God. Are some of y'all relating this to your kids yet? or y'all have y'all locked it into like, oh no, they're mad at me because I want to live godly and I want them to live godly, so I can't just put a rubber stamp on anything they're doing and call it okay. I have to live before God. And you say, what does that have to do with the parasite and the Canaanite? Their enemy was in the same place that they were. What God was saying is, while you're at odds with each other, the enemy is running wild on both of you. While we think the kid is the problem, and while the kid thinks the parent is the problem, the enemy is running wild on both. Stealing sheep, taking sheep, running away, getting this, doing that, causing havoc, having their strife and confusion and anger and every evil works going on. Because you know what we're not doing? We're not focusing on God. We're looking at our stuff. We don't have enough room. And the cattlemen are arguing. Well, we need this and that's that, and they're over there. The water ain't enough water, and ain't enough food, and ain't enough this. Amen. Lot should have said, wait a minute. He should have went to his herd and pulled them all in and said, listen, without Abraham, we don't got nothing. Ultimately, without God, we ain't got a thing. But you can't think that way when you don't understand who God is. So God told me to tell you tonight, you're not in war with your kids or that Lot person. What you need to do is you need to do what Abraham does here in a minute, but you need to focus your whole focus on seeking the Lord for wisdom and understanding and direction. Amen? And if you're a Lot person, you need to seek the Lord and say, God, forgive me for taking for granted what I had. What he should have did, he should have said, tonight we are going to have one of the biggest lamb slaughters of all time. That's what he should have said. Because I need to stay with my God, man. You know where we're going. We're going to Sodom and Gomorrah. We know, you know that. You, just by reading this, by using the name Lot and Abraham, you already know where we're headed. But you know what? He never said, hey, if he knew what he was going into, he probably would have said right there, we need to kill everything I got. I need to lay off all the herdmen, kill as many sheep as I can, send everybody away, and I'll just sit right here next to Abraham, pray and wait on God. If he had hindsight, he could look backwards. Right here's the place. Right here it is. Mom and Daddy are stupid. They're holy rollers. Up at the church every Sunday praising God and all this other stuff. I'll just go where I want to go. Right? While the enemy is wreaking havoc. While the enemy is wreaking havoc. You better remind yourself, even in the house of God, even in church, if we go to turning on each other, if we go to being mad at each other, if this and over here is mad at that and over here, and that back here is mad at this and up here, the enemy is still running wild. He's still going to wreak havoc. He loves it because when you're mad at somebody that's on your team, you don't even realize what the enemy's doing anymore. There are people who go to church all the time thinking their biggest problem goes to church with them. Your biggest problem is not going to church with you. Your biggest problem can come to church sometimes. That's Satan and you. But it ain't somebody in the church. You want to figure out want to deal with that? You say, hey, God, help me forgive them for you because you forgived me. And it's wrong not to give forgiveness. And number two, it'll set me free as well. Amen. All right. I'm trying to get somewhere. I promise. Verse 8, and Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife. Ain't this sweet right here? Look what Abraham does. Some of you mamas in here, some of you daddies, listen to this. It's really nice. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. See what he did? That soft word turns away wrath. Do you see what he did? He came down there and said, hey, don't let this, we're not going to do this. We're not going to fight over this. Here's what I want to do with you. I want to tell you this right here. I love you. We're brethren. I've loved you since the moment I pulled you out. Since I pulled you out of there, when we come out of us, I loved you. Amen? I didn't bring you because I didn't love you. I love you. Some of y'all need to remind them of that. I love you more than anybody in this world loves you. I love you, and I'm not going to love you to death. I'm going to give you what I know is true. But we don't need to be fighting back and forth because we're brethren. Nobody going. Listen, I tell my boy this all the time. I'm glad he wasn't here. I thought he was going to come tonight, but he's been working, so he took the night off. So what's this told him? I tell him all the time, I said, I love you more than anybody else is going to love you ever. There ain't another person on the face of this planet, maybe his mama, going to love you more than we do. Nobody. Ain't nobody going to nobody want to take care of you more than I want to take care of you. Amen? So if I tell you a hard truth, if I have to get into you, it ain't because I don't love you. It's because I love you more than I love myself. Amen? You need to tell them, I love you. Hey, you're my flesh and blood. There's nothing that comes but God and you. Amen? That's what Abraham said. I love you. We're brothers. Well, that's good. Wasn't that sweet? Ain't that how? Did you see how Abraham done that? This is his nephew. He just come in there and he said, "Hey, stop all this. My people are going to stop. I'm going to stop. We're brothers." Boy, that's good. That'll preach. That shows you the blueprint of how to get things right between somebody else. You go in and you ask. You give it the sweetest, softest answer, especially if you love somebody, especially if it's your kids. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the city of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Do you see what Lot did? It's a natural thing, and this could help a lot of you right here. This is a natural thing. He looked at what looked good. He did. He looked at it. It looked good. Listen, there has never been a sin. There has never been a choice. There has never been anything given to you, tempt you in any way that's from Satan that on the first glance is not beautiful. Amen? We always tell kids, oh, that's evil. That's bad. We try to give kids or young people or young adults the end result of sin. We try to tell them about the consequences, which is fine. But you have to explain to them how you got started and how they get started, that it's not going to start out looking ugly and miserable. It's going to come out beautiful in the very beginning. It's going to be exactly what you want. And you might want to tell the truth. Your dad or your mom struggled in some of these same areas because it does start out beautiful before it becomes gross and ugly and demented, amen, and death ultimately, right? Because that's the plan of the enemy, it's death. But I like what Lot looks down. Man, listen, if you're a Lot person, I want you to hear this. You need to stop looking at the world and seeing how good it seems, how good it seems. Because if it was so good, why are those all those people still on drugs, still committing suicide, still, their marriages don't work out? Listen, I used to run a Christian drug and alcohol recovery center. The mantra of our Christian drug and alcohol recovery center was this: cheap Christian rehab. All right? Most of the people that we catered to had at one time in their life went to Malibu, California for recovery. Malibu, California has more recovery centers per capita than any other place on the face of this planet. Do you know who lives in Malibu, California more than anybody else on the face of this planet? The rich and the famous. The most famous people in the world live in Malibu, California. And guess what? Every one of them have to go to the same places to get help. Listen, you don't put a recovery center, unless it's cheap Christian rehab, on a mountain in Tennessee. You don't. You know what you do? You put them right next to where somebody who has money and power and influence, where it's in their location, where they can go over there and hide out and then come back when they're done. Amen? That's where they're located per capita the most. That's what's going on. Listen, money, fame, fortune, sin, the things that we chase after, they never satisfy. Boy, when you first look at them, you say, man, that's going to be the best life. That's going to be, people are going to love me. They're going to adore me. They're always going to like me. But guess what? There's always a death side to sin, always. So guess what? Lot chose it. He goes, man, I bet he, have you ever, most of us were Lots at one time. Have you ever, like that first step off with all the sheep, all the camels, all the cattle, they were going, and he kind of looked back, and maybe he seen Abraham. Well, we're going to get that in a minute. He looked back there and see Abraham, you know, praising God and praying for him. Looking at him and goes, you're an idiot. You gave me the best, right? You gave me, I mean, I got top choice, and you don't know what you're doing. Man, I'm telling you, I done this. I didn't probably put it at them like that. But in my mind, when I was 18, 19, and 20, I said it, man, my dad don't know what he's talking about. This is awesome. 5 years later, this sounds kind of like everything he was talking about. Amen? But let's look at it. Let's see what Abraham, let's pull this Abraham down, and we're almost done. And the Lord said unto Abraham, verse 14, look at this. Has Abraham done anything else yet? No. What's this? And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk to the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. Then Abraham removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. What did he do? It's simple. He waited on God. What did God give him? As far as you can see, in every direction is yours. What did he do? Go walk around in it. What's Lot? Lot's going to spend the rest of his life fighting for every inch of his life. It's going to be total destruction. His family's going to fall apart. His children are going to fall apart. His home's going to fall apart. He had no influence in Sodom and Gomorrah. He had zero influence. He made it all the way up. If you get to really studying about who Lot is, he made it into the government of Sodom and Gomorrah. He sat in the gate. He was like a governor, or he sat on some kind of leadership, city council of some sort, but he sat in the gate. That means he made decisions in that city. You know what? He had no Christian influence whatsoever. He had no influence to God in that place. The only thing that God was looking at Sodom and Gomorrah about, as far as it was to Lot, is because he had a relationship to Abraham. Now, it's preached all this for one reason only. If you are a Lot character, it's time to turn to God. Go back to the God man or woman you know and say, thank you, and then turn to God and give your life to Him. If you are the Abraham person, which that should cover the majority of us in here, we need to get in a severe love relationship with God, one that is so on fire, so unmistakable, that the people that we are around should be uncomfortable by the way that we love God. And here's where I'm going to end this at. This is so cool. When he pulled up his tent stakes and walked around all the land and figured out what belonged to him and what was his, do you know what he did? What did he do last? Hey, boys, let's put the altar back together. Do you see everything in his life was parentheses by what? Getting before God and asking and thanking God for everything. We should have places where people would say, that's where he or that's where she meets God. And if your Lot ever gets lost in this world so bad and so deep, that maybe they would say, I know where my mama and daddy would be. Maybe they'll be at Flat Top Church on Sunday. I'll go back there. And if not, Mom and Dad pray at the house. They read their Bible at the table. They might have a cup of coffee and talk about Jesus on the front porch. I think I'll go back there and seek the Lord. Let's all stand.